And that was Son of God, Eternal Savior. It is the hymn that we're going to be taking a look at on this Tuesday, August the 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2016, being a rumination Tuesday with a hymn. We've got with us our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Pastor Bishop Mark Smith.
Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing real good. You ever have a vicar or field worker?
No, well, I've had field workers. Oh yeah, I've had field workers for
then you're a bishop.
More than 30 years, if you want to call me that. I don't know.
That's what some pastors like calling themselves when they have seminarians. Son of God, Eternal Savior.
It's a great hymn.
Yes. Do you recognize any names down there?
Let's see. No. Oh,
yes.
Henry Gehrke.
Yes.
He gave us the setting, and I like the setting. The setting that you played on the radio is pretty. You said that comes from the Wisconsin Synod. Is that right?
Well, it was a Wisconsin Synod church.
And it's pretty, but I'll tell you what. I like the setting in our hymnal better. If you see Henry Gehrke, you tell him I like his setting better. I love this hymn.
Yes, he's an organist that often plays here at the International Center. He's also the organist of David Pelsu's church, Reformation Lutheran.
Yes.
You know, which is probably the best church in the South area of St. Louis. Maybe not.
I like Pastor Pelsu. He's a good friend of both of ours.
Yes.
He's a good man.
You also have a church in the South.
Yes, we do. Yes. Best kept secret, right?
No, I don't know. No, that's what's the name of your church?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood.
Prince of Peace. There aren't too many churches called Prince of Peace. Are there?
Well, there are. There are there are some.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, there's a Roman Catholic church out in West County named Prince of Peace.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow. Like Trinity is well used all over.
Oh, Trinity is usually the first church in the city. If you've got the first Lutheran church in the city, it's named Trinity usually.
And a lot of times there are names that are rare, but I heard of a Lutheran church, St. Mary's.
Yeah, St. Mary's, right.
Yeah.
That's an acceptable name.
Yes.
Sure.
Have you ever heard of Thomas?
No.
I don't
you
think
know,
so.
You know, thinking about church names,
yes.
if you had the opportunity to start a congregation and you could kind of talk with the congregation, what would be some names that you would suggest? I'd be curious to know. I've got some good ideas myself.
Well, you start.
Well, there's two that I like.
Yeah.
Mighty Fortress Lutheran Church. That's kind of a Reformation type of.
That's good.
Okay. But one I really like is Berean Lutheran Church.
Oh, yes.
I really like Berean Lutheran Church because now that's not everybody knows what that comes from. But the Bereans were the ones that they heard the apostles preach and they went and checked it out with Scripture.
Yes, with the Old Testament.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah, I probably, to gather a lot of people who are unbelievers, I probably have St. Judas Lutheran Church. Okay.
Well, there is St. Jude.
Well, yeah.
The Epistle of Jude. I mean, there were
the
other.
Same guy.
No, but. Well, like your old church, it was called St. James, and you guys never really knew which James it was named after, right?
Yes. There's a greater James and a lesser James.
Right.
Whereas if they had called it St. Thomas, there's only a greater Thomas. What is that?
St. Judas Lutheran Church, come on.
Yeah. Okay, maybe not. Would you please be so kind as to read the first stanza of Son of God?
Okay, great hymn again. Son of God, eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace. Word made flesh, whose birth among us hallows all our human race. You, our head who throned in glory, for your own will ever plead. Fill us with your love and pity, heal our wrongs, and help our need.
Now, it's interesting what category this hymn is put in this hymnal. Have you seen?
Society.
Society.
It is.
What does that mean?
Well, it means
That's what I thought.
No. I see it as a good hit. Well, especially the line, Oh, hush the storm of strife and passion. Bid its cruel discord cease. I mean, a line like that, I see that as, referring to society, the strife, the political, the racial division in our society. That's all included, I think, in that prayer.
Yes.
So I think it's an appropriate category.
So society would be hymns that deal with situations in the society that Christians confront regularly.
Right.
Yes, for example, tonight it will be the first confirmation class I'm teaching for public school children and homeschool children at Trinity Lutheran there in Orchard Farm, right off 94. And the goal I have this year is not just to inform them what the Bible says about Lutheranism, Christianity, but also to prepare them for what they're going to be confronting when they hit public high schools, public colleges, etc.
Right. Oh, boy, and that's needed, too. It is sure needed.
Well, I did the sermon on that last week, against postmodernism.
Uh-huh.
Now, every philosophy has some good points. That's why they come about. And for example, postmodernism, the good point is that the truth you may have about something may not be accurate. And for example, in the area of science, things keep changing all the time.
Oh, all the time, right.
Yeah, in fact, when you and I were in high school, I'm sure we learned about atoms and electrons. Now they have what's called particles.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to discover particles. These are the things that keep all the glue together. I just saw an hour program on it, and it was really quite fascinating. It was very scientific, so I didn't understand hardly any of it. But they have this long tube, over a mile long, and they have two electrons going around, I believe, and then they crash. And from that, at high speed, they're supposed to find these particles. What I found interesting is their goal was to see how the Big Bang worked.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Whereas a proper Christian would say, oh, I believe there are particles, and when we discover them, it will show how God put things together in six 24-hour days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have a totally different approach.
Right. Different worldview.
Yeah, totally different. And the evolutionary one does not necessitate God.
No.
Yeah, in fact, I was watching a television program last night, and this woman doctor, was helping out at some of these clinics, and there was a little girl there, only about a few months old, and she had a disease, and she was going to die within 6 months. And the father and the family asked, could they pray? Now, this doctor, she doesn't believe in God.
No.
And so they gathered around her, and she was holding the baby, and they prayed for the baby. And by the end of the hour, the baby had been cured. And she couldn't believe it. She was so disturbed, the doctor was, because she says, I'm a physician. I don't believe in miracles. And she couldn't figure out medically how it had happened.
Yes, that happens sometimes.
Yes, so what you have is people with a worldview that, and Jesus ran into them all the time, like the Pharisees, that just deny their need for the forgiveness of sins. They would have believed in miracles and such. But many people in our day, what postmodernism mainly means is truth is what you believe.
Yeah.
It's not some objective fact outside of you.
Right.
And so since scientists can't raise somebody from the dead, they can't get seas to dry up and walk across, they don't believe they happened.
No.
So your worldview, and that's Satan's worldview, by the way, postmodernism in that sense, is one where you go to college, our students, and the scientist says, no, it couldn't have possibly happened. It had to happen through evolution. So, for example, one of our grandsons, we send them a creation book from the guys who do the Noah's Ark.
Right, right.
Boy, is
Ken
that...
Ken Ham.
Ken Ham, yes. Excellent. And the purpose is to prepare them and help them to, how shall I say it? I don't want to say argue, but help them to debate somebody who has a different worldview, such like that.
Well, good.
So
how do you plan on with your confirmation class tonight? What approach are you going to make tonight? Well, you're just probably going to start with the basics, I imagine, right, tonight?
No. The way I do confirmation is by conversation.
Uh-huh.
I don't even hand out Luther's catechism except for them to memorize. I've got all the memory work for the whole year.
Okay.
And then the parents sign the catechism when they've memorized that part.
Uh-huh.
And they have dates for each one. But, for example, one of the things I did with the parochial school, I talked about a movie I had seen about a girl who was taking selfies of herself without much clothes on. And what happened, she didn't mean it, but it got on the internet. One of her friends saw it on
her. Now, that sounds like an appropriate subject for your first night of confirmation.
No, and here was the point. When you go to the internet, nothing is ever lost.
Oh, right.
So whatever you say on there, on your Facebook or your Twitter, who's the first people that are going to really be looking at it is when you apply for a job. They're going to take your name and see what have you said on your Facebook, what have you said on your Twitter, etc. And what pictures have you got up there and this sort of thing. You know,
They won't find anything on me.
No, I can understand that because you don't even know how to turn on a computer. But the point I'm making here is we live in a world where truth is decided by how people perceive things. And so you may have a totally different motive in doing what you're doing, but you got to be really careful what you put up on the internet.
Absolutely.
And so that's a way. And by the way, this class I'm teaching, this is the first year they were all given computers by the school, and there's a program called Google. It's not the Google on the internet. It's called Google, where they do all their learning, and they do homework at home. Their parents can look at it and this sort of thing. It's really fascinating, and I'm taking a look at it to see if we can I'm going to have the children develop games for memory work.
Okay.
Have you ever seen any of those? Yeah. Like they'll put the whole commandment up. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then you read it three times. Then the next one of the words is missing. And you got to put it in.
I see.
And then two of the words are missing. And then three until you get
the
whole thing.
They know the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
No,
sounds like it'll be fun.
No, I think it is because as I've been saying, Trinity Parochial School can do something no public school can do, and that is they can teach religion, morality properly. In a public school, they have to be pro-homosexual, pro...
Let's be politically correct.
In that sense, yes. And so
you
send your kid to a public school, unless it's in a real conservative area, they're going to be hearing things that contradict what they heard in Sunday school.
That's right.
Parents need...
More and more you're going to be running into
exactly.
this.
Exactly. And the purpose of the pastor, therefore, is to prepare. After my sermon on postmodernism, a number of the adults came up and appreciated it because they were wondering, why is this world so different today? And I said in the sermon, one of the points I made was this. How many times have you had somebody who disagrees with your morality look at you and say, you know, you can believe whatever you want, just don't judge me when I believe. You know, that idea that my personal belief is just as good as yours.
Right. What's true for you isn't necessarily true for me.
Exactly. And I said, you know, that's true about so many things. Like, you may have a like of a different ice cream or a different car you want to buy. And I gave a whole list
There's
of things.
There's no accounting for taste, right?
Yeah. No, there really isn't. I mean, my taste is perfect, but a lot of people don't agree. What if you could eat anything you wanted, what would it be?
Oh, I'll tell you, I've got a
wood.
There are foods that I would be willing to give up for $1 million, no problem at all. But I'll tell you, one of them I don't think I could give. I love spaghetti.
Really?
And I love pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And chocolate is something else I'd have to have a hard time doing without.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. I mean, so that's how I Yeah, I'm not saying it's my favorite food, but it's food that I just don't think I could ever give up for my lifetime.
No, my favorite one now is, and it's at Costco, key lime pie.
Oh, key lime pie.
Oh, man, is that good. I mean...
Yeah, that is your favorite.
Oh, yeah. If I, that, and then scallops in a deep white sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Tom, we are talking about the hymn now.
Yes. So, getting back to, well, what I'm trying to make the point is there is truth in Christianity, but we do tolerate other points of view when the Bible isn't clear on them. But where the Bible is clear.
Absolutely.
Then to tolerate them means we would accept them
right.
as proper, and we should never do that.
That's
Jesus
right.
never accepted things that were contrary to the word of God.
That's right.
And it got him crucified. So don't be surprised if that's going to happen to us. All right, I'll read stanza 2. As you, Lord, have lived for others, so may we for others live. Freely have your gifts been granted, freely may your servants give. Yours the gold and yours the silver, yours the wealth of land and sea. We but stewards of your bounty held in solemn trust will be. Now, this also could therefore be a stewardship hymn.
You bet. Yours the gold and yours the silver. Yes.
Yes. What's that hymn that's often sung after the offering comes forward?
Take my life and let it be.
No. We give thee but
thine own
whatever the gift may be.
All that we have is thine alone. I trust, O Lord, from thee.
And that's exactly what this is saying. Held in solemn trust will be.
Yes.
In other words, when we give gifts to God, our offerings, he already owns them.
Right.
Yes. But what we're doing, we're giving them so that the church might be better equipped to get the word out.
That's right.
Yeah, like our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had a special offering at the convention.
Right.
And they're going to be using it for that purpose, namely missions, this sort of thing. We can use a lot more offerings, particularly for the seminaries.
Oh, yes.
I just heard... There were a certain number of seminarians who met the requirements to go to the seminary, and they had to exclude, I think, 15 of them.
Yes, because they couldn't, in good conscience, put them that far into debt, right?
Well said.
And that's it?
Yeah.
It's hard to accept these guys and say, well, yeah, you're going to have $100,000 plus debt going out into the field. I mean...
Yeah. Because they're coming out of the college sometimes with $40,000, $50,000
debt. Yeah.
Then they go to the seminary, and in my day it was like $15 a credit hour.
Right.
Today it's like over $300.
Oh, I know.
It's just really expensive. And there was a time when they could come to the sem for free.
Right.
Yeah.
Tuition. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, a few of them. Got in under the wire on that, but that didn't last
too long. Well, they had big numbers because they really weren't, some of them, appropriate for the ministry, but it was a free education.
Yeah.
You see, so now that it costs more, we have less students attending.
Right.
And so we got to work something out to help that out. But that's why this particular hymn notices the motivation why we freely give, because freely have your gifts been granted, freely may your servants give.
Freely you have received, freely give, right?
Yeah. So since we have received free gifts from God, then we can also freely give.
That's
stanza
right.
3.
Come, O Christ, and reign among us, King of love and Prince of peace. Hush the storm of strife and passion. Bid its cruel discord cease. By your patient years of toiling, by your silent hours of pain, quench our fevered thirst of pleasure, stem our selfish greed of gain. I love that verse.
Yes, because this is a verse for Christians. But we have a new man, but we also have
an old Adam.
An old Adam.
Yes.
And that's the old Adam who just loves the thirst of pleasure.
Yeah, quench our fevered thirst of pleasure.
Now, my wife accuses me of having that every time I watch QVC, and I say, oh, we got to get that, you know. QVC is where they sell items. Cookware and all this sort of thing.
I really don't watch that stuff.
No, I know you don't.
I'm pretty much a Fox News junkie.
Oh, you're a Fox News junkie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like QVC, and there's another one, HB something or whatever. But I just got a printer. I need it at the Trinity office, so when their printers aren't working, I can still do my stuff. And it does color, it does faxing, it does both sides of the sheet. $70.
Wow, they've come down, haven't they?
Well, no, this place, it's just about 6 months ago, and then they allow 4 months to pay. I got a computer, a Dell one, for my work at Trinity, and I went to Best Buy, and it was $1,200. But through QVC, it was $627.
Wow.
Now, QVC really has good deals, but you got to buy it that day.
Right.
But then they send it to you postage free.
Hmm.
It's ridiculous. And then they give you 5 months to pay. So on almost all of their things, they have an amount, and you just give them their credit card. No interest or anything.
Well, I mean, they didn't see you coming, did they?
No. I think they did see me coming because they were selling one of the top line blenders, and within that hour, they sold 22,000 of them.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. Would you read stanza four?
Okay. Son of God, eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh, whose birth among us hallows all our human race. By your praying, by your willing, that your people should be one. Grant, grant our hope's fruition here on earth, your will be done.
Now, there's something in that verse that's really important. If you ever ask just anybody in your congregation, does Jesus ever have to pray? And you would say,
well, he did in Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes,
he sure
but
did.
Now
in fact, he would several times it talks about him going out to a remote mountain place and praying to his heavenly
but
Father.
But now he's exalted.
Right.
Does he have to pray now?
No. But no, wait a minute. I take that back. He pleads for us. That's his prophet, priest, and he pleads for us before his heavenly Father.
In fact, you just read it.
Yes, that's
right. In the fourth verse.
Right.
By your praying.
By your willing.
That your people should be one.
That's right. He sure does pray.
Yes.
That's part of his office of as priest.
Yes, yes.
He's still our priest before
our heavenly prophet, priest, right. And king. And that's why Romans says, we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit takes those prayers, ascends them, and through the Son reaches the Father as a perfect prayer.
Yes. We have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous.
Advocate, which another word for that, since the devil is the prosecuting attorney, Jesus, our advocate, is the?
He's our defense attorney.
Excellent. Yes, defense attorney. So that's why we have nothing to fear. And he's Son of God, eternal Savior. Eternal means that the only reason you and I are going to heaven is because his work lasts through eternity. It's just, you can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like.
Nope.
No, because the reality of heaven, there are no words that we can explain them. What are you preaching on this Sunday?
I haven't decided.
Yes.
I need to come to that decision pretty soon, but I haven't decided at this point.
Yeah, well, you should have mentioned that because I could have told you.
Oh.
You could preach on, you know.
Okay, go ahead, tell me.
We don't have time. You'll have to phone me. I'll give you a good insight.
There are good readings this Sunday.
Yeah, from Proverbs, Hebrews, and Luke 14. I like this one. When you go to a wedding or something, you take the lowest place, and then you get...
Yes.
So every time I go to a wedding, I do that so that they ask me to come up to a higher place. Is that a good idea?
I thought you chose your place so it'd be nearest the reception table.
I could give you a story what happened at the last wedding, but I'm not going to. All righty. I'm Tom Baker. We thank Pastor Smith for being with us. We'll be back next Tuesday, God willing, and looking at another hymn, as well as talking about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with a hymn. But we appreciate you listening to us tomorrow, Insight Wednesday, Thursday, Wes Reimnitz. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.